The noon hour, it is upon us. Sneaks up oh so fast each and every day. But we're hanging out here with you until 1 o'clock, and we appreciate your participation as always. Lucas, myself, and Will Bowling, who is here, who is always here in some form or fashion. You can follow Bowling where, young William? Oh, reach for the microphone.
Follow me on Twitter at Will_Bowling.
Yep.
B-O-L-I-N-G, spelled like the arena, not like the sport.
All right, don't run it into the ground. They will be hosting, the two of them, Much Radio over the course of the next week.
Much radio to be done.
Much radio to be done. So let's take it in order for the people. By the way, we're going to talk about Pecorine. We're going to talk about Henry To'oto. We're going to talk with Lindsay Rowley of Bally Sports coming up next. That'll be fun. So let's take it day by day, because there is a broadcast tonight with the two of you.
Correct.
That is?
The tonight Nashville is Soccer Show.
The Nashville Soccer Show.
9 to 10.
Okay.
With Davey Shepard. Are we annoying yet?
I love how easy it is to annoy him.
Okay, and then after that, there is?
Wednesday night at 6 o'clock, we will lead into the Titans radio crew, who will be covering the Titans schedule release. Lucas and I will be on with you from 6 to 7 p.m. tomorrow night on 104.5 The Zone.
Okay. So are you excited for schedule release talk?
Absolutely.
Of course. it's the bane. Of course.
And Memorial Day, we will be stepping in for One Buck Rising from 10 to 2.
Oh, is that so?
Did you not know this?
No.
Yeah.
We literally talked about this yesterday.
Yeah, but I forget a lot of things. So who's hosting? Who's me?
Who do you want to be you?
That's a good question. Who do you think has the best chance of being me? Debate amongst yourselves.
I don't know if I want to step inside your brain in any capacity.
Yeah.
It's a dark place.
It gets the job done. No. Silence? Crickets? Nobody? Well, then
we need to have like a feat of strength that we're competing.
Well, one of you needs to sack the hell up, to be honest with you. I can't sit here.
Well, you have a very demanding lifestyle. I don't know if I want to be
your show.
Rising.
Well, I'm not saying you have to be me, but all I'm saying is somebody needs to step up when I say who's going to be me. It can't be tepid responses and silence, because then both of you have disqualified yourselves.
We'll sit down and talk about it.
From being me. You'll sit down and talk about it amongst yourselves.
This is like 3 weeks from now. Yeah, I haven't even.
We've got plenty of programs.
We have not prepped these 4 hours of radio yet.
All right. Well, then immediately both of you are disqualified from being me, because, for example, my birthday is July the 20th. We already started planning 2 weeks ago.
Who's going to host? Coach Mack? Cardboard Coach Mack in the back of the studio is going to host your show?
He could make as much noise as the two of you did when I asked who was going to host.
I also have on Saturday morning.
Oh, God.
Hey, you told me to make my programming announcement, so I'm making my programming announcement.
Filling
in for Doug Matthews this Saturday in 104.5 The Zone, 9 a.m. to 11 a.m. So we got 9 p.m. tonight, and then we're going to go 9 a.m. on Saturday morning. You a guy that can do both.
104.5.
It's me. I'm a guy.
You are a guy, certainly. That is a way to describe you. All right, guy. What was it like in Bridgestone Arena last night?
It was cool. It was as good of an atmosphere as you can get for two teams that are playing mostly minor leaguers and don't care. It was a really good atmosphere, honestly. It was, Pecorine took over as the Predators goaltender when I was in sixth grade here in Nashville. So it's just kind of cool to see it come full circle. Preds fans have had it pretty good between Thomas Vokoum, between Pecorine, Mike Dunham way back in the early days of the Nashville Predators. They've had it good in goal for a long time, and it was kind of cool to see that kind of a send-off. And look, I mean, he was making like easy saves. He would just go behind the net to retrieve the puck, and fans would start cheering.
Oh, yeah.
It was pretty cool. I don't know how much that translated on television, but he would do the simplest thing you could do as a goaltender, and people would start standing and cheering.
Were you Lucas, you were in your feels last night, yeah?
Yeah, I think you had to be.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, even from a neutral perspective, just because of the kind of guy that he seems to be. You know, I mean, he's such an iconic Nashville sports figure. I mean, he's perfect.
Yeah.
Nashville sports figure is very close to a Mount Rushmore.
That conversation, I almost sent
you
a tweet last night of people saying, like, oh, Pecorine's definitely on the Mount Rushmore, and I knew your head was just exploding.
Just because you didn't doesn't mean there weren't 75 other people that did. You all are very, very clever.
That's why I did it, actually, because I was like, oh, he knows.
I'm well aware of the conversations being had.
A watchful eye on Twitter in Nashville.
No, it's I don't even seek it out anymore. People just flood me with it.
Oh, I know.
Unbelievable. Great. So I was not expecting to be swept up in a little bit of emotion last night while watching the Nashville Predators, because I thought, because the thing that I was looking for, outside of for them to win and not embarrass him on his last night out there, one, he looked pretty good. Like, yeah, I don't know what I was expecting, but it's been so long, and there is so much time between his starts that I forget that Pecorino still competent.
Well, he's 4-1 in his last five starts with the 95 save percentage.
That's what I'm saying. Like, I didn't do my research on the front end, and I'm like, oh, he still looks like he can play. This is surprising to me, and maybe it shouldn't be. But I was also, well, I was taken aback by a couple things. I was taken aback by the way that it sounded, because I think that Bally Sports and you know, Willie and Chris Mason, it was a little slurpy for me. And I understand that, right? You're celebrating Pecorine on his big night, what could be his last. I think there is some allowance for that. And so I will take my sarcasm aside and accept it for what it is, right? And then I was watching him in the Smashville standing ovation, which is typical. It is the custom under normal circumstances. It's been a while since there's normal circumstances, and it's a shame that Pecorine couldn't have a full house in what could potentially have been his last game at Bridgestone Arena. But the way that he just seemed himself to be a little taken aback by it, I really got caught up in.
It was wholesome.
It was wholesome.
A wholesome night.
It's cool to see guys who take pride in the city and the franchise that they represent as much as the fans take that much pride in the city and franchise that they represent.
Speaking of what, Lucas?
Speaking of taking, that's a perfect transition into the Henry Toa conversation.
This is where I went on my Zone Daily podcast this morning on the 104.5 The Zone Podcast Network. We live in an era of sports where athletes don't do this as much anymore. They don't take pride in the extra stuff beyond just doing their jobs in the field. I know you're going to shake your head at me and be sarcastic about this. This is where Lucas and I, we grew up watching these guys. We grew up watching these teams that you didn't.
Oh, are you his ally in this, Lucas?
Oh, Will, I'm so sorry.
Yes!
No.
Turn heel.
I don't mean you're supposed to be my ally. I just mean this means that you have the background of watching Tennessee that Buck does not have.
And I get that.
Understood.
And that's fine.
And that is a rare thing when you hear that from an athlete, like a Trey Smith.
Right.
That wanted to represent his home state.
That's what I want more.
Very well.
Very meaningful.
Because I sound such like an old man, get off my lawn saying this, but the me culture of college athletics gets tired to me. Because if there's anybody that should embrace where they are, the team they represent, the university they represent, it's college athletes. These guys aren't getting paid yet. If there's anyone who should take pride in where they are and have a little bit of pride and not go over to the arch rival the next season, it's college athletes. This is not free agency. It's what it's becoming. I don't want it to become free agency. And the point I made on Blaine and Mickey yesterday, and the point I also made this morning on the Zone Daily podcast.
Subscribe, rate, and review.
Please do. Is that this is as much for Henry Toa a reflection on Jeremy Pruitt as it is Henry Toa. This is a Jeremy Pruitt problem. Not instilling an ounce of pride in playing for the University of Tennessee when you've got guys that are willing to go across enemy lines to Alabama.
I want to keep having this conversation. We'll do a little bit of this on the other side before we get to Lindsey Rowley, because I think there's a lot there. I understand. I see you. I understand where you're coming from.
I'm sitting right here, of course. We're on Zone TV. Everyone can see us.
YouTube, Twitch, Periscope, Facebook Live. All of the platforms.
You've gotten that down pretty quickly.
I mean, I was doing it before you were.
I mean, you are the top digital talent in the city of Nashville. So.
Just riding my coattails. Oh, God.
Who created this? Thank you.
I understand where you're coming from. And I also recognize the behavior of this is an old man sports opinion, and it is an unpopular one, though. Because, like,
It's not in Knoxville.
With me, well, and really not in Nashville either. No. I didn't hear many dissenting opinions about that yesterday. I'm looking at it through the same prism as like my hatred of single digits and, you know, tight ends can wear 15, shout out Tim Tebow, and wide receivers can wear 40 and running backs can wear 2. I look at that through the same prism, but I also think that you are dead wrong for a variety of reasons, and I'll tell you all of those reasons coming up next. I'm Buck Rising. It's 104.5 The Zone. All right, so Lindsay Rowley is going to be here in just a second from Bally Sports. We'll talk some puck once Lindsay Rowley joins us. In the meantime, we have been getting peppered in the comment section on 104.5 The Zone TV. Will Bowling's creation. He's here in studio. With the conversation about Henry To'oto'o and what it means, not that Henry To'oto'o transferred from Tennessee, but that he transferred to Alabama, which is really where the genesis of the distaste seems to be coming from. Do I have that incorrect?
No, that's correct.
Okay.
It's not that he transferred, it's where he transferred.
Right. So if he'd gone to Florida, different?
No.
Oh, that's right. It would be right in there. The conversation would be the same.
Okay. Florida and Bama are the two that you're going to get roasted for going to.
All right. So, Hyron on Periscope says, did these same people have a problem when Kamara went from Bama to UT?
No, because he went to junior college in between and was pretty much let go at Alabama. Didn't have a choice.
Yeah. Mikey Dreamer on Twitch, if a player from Indiana went to play for Calipari at UK, you wouldn't feel the same way as a lot of people are feeling with Henry going to Bama? No, I don't care. What do I care?
I don't know if that's the equivalent for you either.
Well, Purdue, maybe. Yeah, even still. Purdue. Like, I just, and this is, listen, the SEC is tribal. I am not denying that, okay? I'm not, you guys are going to feel however it is that you want to feel.
There's really not an equivalent that I can relate to you.
Well, I don't think there is really nothing on par with SEC football and SEC right. football fan bases. That's and I, thing. And I totally, totally happy to concede that. I'm not arguing on the other side of that, but I just think that it is such a, now if it helps the football team get up to play Alabama and maybe not lose by 35, yeah, that's great. Brett Doherty's walking into the studio is also of the opinion that Henry To'oto'o should be discarded, not a VFL, cast out.
Yes.
Stoned in the streets.
You act like this is such a crazy opinion.
That's stupid.
No, it's not stupid.
It's beyond stupid.
It's having pride in the team that you represent, which Jeremy Pruitt did not instill in a single player.
I'm sorry, who are we talking
other than
about?
Maybe Trey Smith.
Hi, Brent.
Who are we talking about?
Henry To'oto'o. Going
who's,
out.
Who's that?
No. Oh.
This is where I have an issue.
Oh. Petty.
Oh.
This is where I have an issue of players playing college football just to play college football, just to get to the pros, to do it for them, to just be, hey, I'm going to be here for a couple years.
But that's reality.
That's though. What it is.
That's I don't know
what
if it is.
That's what it is. Look, Henry To'oto'o.
That's reality in college basketball because you get your 1 year and you're gone.
Henry To'oto'o, a blue chip 5-star prospect from the West Coast, didn't give a damn about the T growing up. It was never, nothing, it never crossed his mind.
He doesn't went to have Tennessee. To growing up.
Because of his relationship with Jeremy Pruitt, said, this guy can coach me up. I'm going to play and start as a freshman, and it'll give me a chance to get enough tape to go to the pros. And now he's in a situation where, okay, I want to leave. My coaching staff's no longer there. Who's going to give me the best opportunity to win a championship
Plenty
and
of
be
teams.
Drafted?
Plenty of teams
but
will.
But none more so than Alabama.
I don't
the team
think that's
that he
true.
Chose Tennessee over.
I don't think
the
that's
team
true.
That just right, had six first-round picks in the NFL draft.
The two of you shut up. Brent, what do you think about this?
This is not 1975 Will Bowling.
Okay, I mean, y'all are twisting my words listen, and picking one part of my argument to,
Henry
to talk about.
Welcome to media.
He is allowed to choose his college coming out of high
well,
school
obviously.
To better himself and give him the best chance to go to the NFL and all those things. Now, when you choose Tennessee and you're going to transfer, no trade clause to Alabama and Florida. Not, don't do it. Not happening. Dead to me. Goodbye. Have fun. Roll damn tide. He's going to be smoking cigars.
I was about to say, that cigar is going to taste good once it's on the winning side.
I don't want my opinion to be confused as saying he's not allowed to do this. It's that he shouldn't do this. I don't want him to do this.
Nah, he can do whatever he wants, but then we can have an opinion. By the way, Buck, when did you lose your show?
When did I lose my show?
I mean, you've got three other voices here. You look like you have a splitting headache. I don't know what's happening.
No, it's because I spent the first hour of my show talking about Tim Tebow and this freak show.
That's fair.
This clown show. And speaking of freak show, the state of Florida, freak show unto itself.
But here's another thing when it comes to, like, Alabama players, Will. We'll just talk about all the Alabama players that went through that program, won a championship, and got drafted. How many of them did it for the A? Or gave a damn about the A.
But the difference is a lot of players do it for the A. The difference is that
yeah, exactly.
They have a culture of winning.
Is this thing on?
Their culture is winning championships. Tennessee doesn't have that. All Tennessee has right now is its tradition and what that means. Alabama has a lot more than that.
That's not enough to keep No one cares.
Enough of this. Nobody gives a damn about your tradition. Stop selling me tradition. Tradition
doesn't
win.
Trey Smith cared?
Trey Smith, okay, you found the one. Great. Happy for you. What did it get him? It got him in the sixth round of the Kansas City Chiefs because nobody else wanted to touch him. The medicals are a different situation. I understand. Shut up and let me talk. What I'm saying is the situation, I don't care. Your tradition is Phil Fulmer. The Vols are back. We're going to get a piece of everybody's ass.
Oh, Lord.
No one cares.
You don't
what
care.
What did that? No. Nobody else. None of your recruits care anymore. Nobody care. What they care about at the University of Tennessee is what Tennessee was trying to do with that whole Barstool nonsense with Coach Duggs and playing through college football. The branding of the players. You are there to sell the players. The players are the product. The players want a platform. If you don't have the platform to give it to them, that Tennessee does. That's fine. That's on you. Improve your recruiting. But get the hell out of here with feels like 98, running through the power tee, all of this other crap. Go Vols, Paul. I don't care. And no college kid does either.
Again, you're changing my argument, but it's okay.
Well, good.
The problem is that Jeremy Pruitt also didn't care, and he's not one of the players. That's where I'm coming from, is that that's the guy that's creating the circumstance for things like this to happen.
Yeah, but I think you're seeing that everywhere. With coaches now as transient as they are and as much pressure as they are under to win and win fast, I don't think they feel like they have time to establish some sort of base.
No, it's true.
Some sort of foundation.
It's one of the problems I have with college football.
They're trying to figure out a way to win eight games real quick. I mean, that's just where we are, right? I mean,
yeah, because Pruitt was already under scrutiny and they don't care. They just give me the best players. How do I get them here? You know, allegedly McDonald's bags full of cash.
For Henry To'oTo'o, who gives me the best chance to win a championship and get drafted, which the answer is Alabama. You can do it other places, but the answer is unquestionably Alabama. That overshadows Tennessee tradition and pride, and it's not close.
I don't know if the answer is Alabama.
He should have gone to Ohio State.
You're going to have more competition at Alabama than you might at Ohio State.
615-737-1045. We'll take Mason and Nolensville before we bring Lindsey Rowley into the conversation, completely pivot and talk about, you know, good feels and good, God help me, good vibes. Mason in Nolensville, what's up?
So I just wanted to say it goes higher than the coach because, I mean, the University of Tennessee sat there and hired an Alabama coach.
Oh, okay. Thank you for the call.
That is kind of part of this, too, and you're going to laugh at this, but it's the optics of you got a coach from Alabama that never really embraced Tennessee. I mean, all the reports of Josh Heupel being the guy now, all you're hearing about is they're having a lot more fun actually playing the game of football now because they're enjoying themselves. I don't know if anyone ever really had fun outside of having the longest winning streak in FBS for a hot minute there.
They look like they're playing having fun for Jeremy when they Pruitt. Beat Indiana.
Yeah,
I was not having fun.
I mean, Jeremy Pruitt's just not that have fun kind of guy. Like, he just doesn't have that. Wow,
yeah, that's just a coaching style.
I know you have too.
Well, this was like it's the same conversation we had in 2009 when Lane Kiffin was trying to make Tennessee USC East, and Jeremy Pruitt's trying to make Saban Factory North, which definitely worked out for him when Derek Dooley was there. So why not try it again?
I don't think it's fair to expect players to like Cade Mays just from when he signed for Georgia. I didn't blame him.
He's from Knoxville. It's
because
different.
Tennessee was a dumpster fire. He's from Knoxville. He's a legacy. He's a legacy. Committed to Tennessee for 2 years, and he flipped to Georgia because Georgia at that time unquestionably gave him a better chance to win and get drafted,
well, yeah.
And that will always, always overshadow tradition, fanhood.
But he didn't start at Tennessee. He started at Knoxville Catholic and then went to Georgia. Start at Tennessee then go to Georgia.
But I'm saying the same arguments about loyalty and pride and culture in Tennessee were being thrown out when Cade Mays signed for Georgia.
I just don't like free agency in college football.
But that's it's reality. That's just what it is, though.
I don't have to like it. I know it's reality. I don't have to like it. I'd rather have guys have pride in where they are and be a Trey Smith or a John Fulkerson.
All right, we'll send you back to the 80s. Let Buckethead be the final word on this before we welcome in Lindsey Rowley. Buckethead says he went to UT to get the bag. The bag man is gone, and now he's gone. 2 + 2 = 4. That's completely accurate.
Bag man's gone. The bag man's just a different man now.
Well, yeah.
I mean, what the hell was Tennessee paying for if they were paying?
Listen, the best player on the roster.
Asking that question for a long time.
Apparently. Like, shell out more money. TN4L says, I assume you view the once illustrious Indiana men's basketball program the same as Tennessee's football program. 100% a sham. That is not my university.
Your statement that no one cares about that, this isn't true.
About Indiana basketball?
No, about just tradition in general in sports. Like,
I don't care. Bobby Knight is just an angry old man to me.
That's fine.
And it was a lovely moment when they finally brought him back. But I don't care about Bobby Knight. Bobby Knight didn't do anything
just
for me.
Just because you don't doesn't mean no one does.
No. People in our generation, largely, excluding yourself, William, do not care. This is recency bias. Whether you like it or whether you don't. Millennial, Gen Z, if you want to lump them together, the TikTok generation. Nobody gives a damn.
Maybe on Twitter, but Twitter's not real life.
If Twitter was real life, we would be in a substantially worse place. Scott Bowen writes in on Facebook Live, stupid transfer portal. Yeah, well, you know, free agency. It's going to make college football at least a little more interesting because we'll have moments like this where you transfer to bitter interconference rivals. Intra or inter? Intra. It doesn't matter.
Intra.
Intra. Thank you.
Unless you're staying in-state, is that what you're doing?
Brent Doherty from 3 to 6, 3HL, Ron Slay, Don Davenport. They will be guiding you through the rest of the afternoon. And
by the way, real quick, before you get to Lindsey, and I love Lindsey, but coming up on 3HL, Don and Ron, which sounds like some kind of buddy cop film.
Sure.
Going at each other in our text grand today about Tim Tebow.
Oh. Well, then you gotta be a part of that. 3HL from 3 to 6 on 104.5 The Zone. But we welcome in a first-time guest on the radio show. Lindsey Rowley of Bally Sports has been kind enough to give us some of her time. Lindsey, have you emotionally recovered from last night's game?
A little, not fully. You know, I sent that tweet out because I said I've had a lot of emotional moments with the Predators in my 7 years, and holy smoke, that one might take the cake. I was in the arena, but Crispy and I are tucked away in a studio. So even just watching it on television and just knowing how great of a guy Pekka is and how hard he's worked for this organization, it's just, I'm kind of like Pekka right now. I've never heard of Pekka at a loss for words. In his post-game interview, he was kind of like that. And it's hard to describe. It's hard to put into words what it was like to see the fans embracing him like that. So it was a pretty special moment.
At Lindsey Rowley with an A, Lindsey Rowley on Twitter is where I have to say it because I typed E earlier, Lindsey, and I blew it.
I appreciate it.
I want to make sure we get it right. At Lindsey Rowley is where you follow her, and you can see her, of course, on all of the Predators pre, intermission, and post game coverage on Bally Sports alongside Terry Crisp. So Lindsey, just speaking of emotions, like the genesis of this Predators team from the start of the season, when they look to be dead on arrival, to now where they find themselves getting ready for their postseason series against the Carolina Hurricanes. What's that been like to cover? Because I gotta think, from the perspective of somebody who covers this sport on a night-in, night-out basis, that you were looking at this season kind of like, oh, man, if this is what it's like at this point, how much longer is it going to continue, and where are we going to find ourselves in a couple of months?
Yeah, I mean, you kind of took the words out of my mouth, except it wasn't, oh man, it was, oh crap. Because I'll be honest, I've been so spoiled with the Predators. I came here the first year that Laviolette got here. And since then, the Nashville Predators have been in the playoffs every season. So in mid-March, you know, I'm a fairly positive person. And then you look, I mean, you talked to, in our post-game show last night, Chris Mason, who hands down is one of the most positive people I've ever met in my life. And yes. Even he said, you know, in mid-March, I thought we were kind of dead in the water. Just the way things were trending. And it just didn't seem like, not only was the team not necessarily performing, but they couldn't catch a break, you know, it just, and the, you know, on top of that, the injuries. So it just didn't seem like this was the Preds year. And I've got to give so much credit to John Hines. I mean, we interview him every game and you know, just the way, at least to us, he was always staying positive. He was always talking about how much faith he had in his team, even when they were, you know, injured and you know, not in the greatest spot. So I have to give him and his coaching staff have just done an unbelievable job turning this around from a standpoint of not only getting the team to perform, but the identity that they've really formed for this team, that is that effort, that grit, that nitty gritty physical, not necessarily just from a scoring goal standpoint, but from an effort standpoint purely. So, I mean, looking back to where it was in mid-March and thinking of the mindset that I had and the way I was covering the team to now, thinking, you know, we're waiting today to hear when game one's going to start next week against the Carolina Hurricanes. It's so surreal to think about because I've never covered a comeback like that. And even Crispy said, I mean, Crispy's been around forever. I love the man, but he's old as dirt. And he said, I've never seen a comeback like this. And so, it was just amazing even to hear him say, you know, I've never watched a comeback like this. And, to be able to witness that, I feel really fortunate.
Lindsay, just glad they were able to get the win Saturday to be able to set this up for Pecorine yesterday. And they did a really good job of putting him out there for the fans. You guys did a great job of covering it. But at this point, Pekka's 4-1 in his last five starts with a 95 save percentage. He had 30 saves and a shutout last night. Are we so sure that that's it for this season? Are we so sure he's not going to start another game in the playoffs coming up?
No, I agree with you. You know, he played so well last night, and not just last night, but he is a huge reason why the Nashville Predators are in the playoffs. Thinking back to the way that he performed in March, I mean, don't get me wrong, you got to give UC Saros credit because he has played his butt off since mid-March. But, I mean, Pekka has been playing fantastic as well. And back to that road trip, you know, the games that Pekka played, it helped his team get some of those key wins. I mean, he's definitely a key piece of the puzzle. And nobody knows the future for Pekka yet. Nobody knows what's going to happen. So, and we haven't been told anything. And Pekka hasn't come out and said anything. So, we really don't know. And for all we know, I mean, knock on wood, I'm not trying to jinx anything, but who's to say the Preds don't make it out of first round? And then, I mean, Juuse can't play all the way through to the cup. You know, at some point, Pekka would have to step in and play, and which would be, I think, great because Pekka's playing so fantastic. And what's awesome right now is we all know that when the playoffs hit, I mean, not all of it, but a big chunk of who goes on to that cup final is who gets a hot goaltender. And right now, it seems like the Predators have two hot goaltenders. So, you know, I'm not sitting here saying like, oh, here we come, we're going for the cup. But I am saying that the Predators right now, as far as the position that they're in goaltending-wise in the league, is probably one of the best positions.
At Lindsay Rowley is where you can follow her on social media. So, Lindsay, with that game last night, one, I was myself taken aback, and I don't know why. Maybe it's just because we've seen him so infrequently throughout the course of the season with how well Pekka performed, and then I look at his record, and I'm like, oh, well, it makes a lot of sense. He's not quite done yet at this point. But then there's Matt Duchene, who performed at a very, very high level last night after having – you know, many questions about his level of performance throughout the course of the regular season. Now, my producer, Lucas, came in spitting venom this morning about about Matt Duchene performing when there is no pressure on them. How should Predators fans view that performance from Matt Duchene last night?
Come on, Lucas. Have a little faith, man. Sheesh.
Yeah, defend yourself, Lucas. Defend yourself.
Lindsay, he said in my ear before he asked you that question, I'm about to hang you out to dry with this next question. And he did. But I thought there was something to that, though. It's good to have him with a two-goal performance going into the postseason. But, you know, there is something to be said about the frustration of seeing him have one of his best performances of the year in a game that, on paper, in terms of the standings in the playoffs, does not matter.
Look
though.
At you! Look at you, coward, backpedaling so quickly.
Well, with spitting venom. Oh, spitting venom is strong. That's a strong phase.
It's okay. It's okay. It's part of the job. I love it. But you know, I would actually say it's the opposite. You sit here and say, "Oh, he had a great game with no pressure on him." I think it's the opposite. Matthew Shane has a ton of pressure on him right now. He's going to prove that he's worthy of serving this team in the playoffs. And all year long, you know, it's been, I love Matt Duchene, but, you know, there's been a lot of pressure on the guy this year to perform and have one of his better years because of past experiences. And now here he is, one game away from the playoffs. He's got an opportunity to come in and say, hey, I am going to help this team in the playoffs. I am going to be there for them. I am going to score those big goals. And he comes in and he has a 2-goal game. So I think you could argue the opposite. Sorry, my dog's being an idiot. But
is that a wolf? That didn't sound like a dog. It's howling behind you.
I know. It's a golden retriever who thinks he's a wolf. I think that you could honestly argue the opposite, that last night there was a lot of pressure on Duchene to say, hey, man, we're starting the playoffs in a week against arguably the top team in the league. What are you going to do for us? What's going to happen? Because think about what happens if he comes out last night and doesn't score and has a bad game. Then what do you say? And so now I think that Matt has proved, like, hey, I'm going to come into the playoffs. But, I mean, he's kind of set the bar high after last night. So now I'm expecting the Matt Duchene that I saw last night in game one. So now I think I hate to say it, but he's almost got more pressure because it's like, hey, if you can play like that, then even though I know we can argue that, you know, Carolina didn't have all their starters in and all of that, but I don't think that mattered. The way that he played and the effort that I saw, I think he set the bar high, which I think is exactly what Duchene needed to do last night. So I'm excited to see him against Carolina in round one.
At Lindsay Rowley is where you can follow her. You can watch her on Bally Sports Predators coverage. Now that the postseason is officially upon us. Lindsay, it was really good to catch up. We appreciate you stopping by the show, and we'll certainly be watching as the Predators attempt to progress their way through this first-round series against Carolina.
Definitely. I'm sure I'll be talking to you guys. Lucas, stay positive, man. Come on.
look at her.
I'm more positive than Buck,
Lindsay. She's on your neck now. That's Lindsay Rowley.
We'll monitor the situation.
Yeah, we'll monitor the situation. Thanks, Lindsay.
See you guys.
I literally said in his ear as I was getting ready to toss it to him, I'm gonna hang you out to dry. She just crushed you. The power of positivity.
Well, she is right though. The pressure is on. Now this has to carry over into the postseason because then we will look back at that meaningless 5-0 win where he scored 2 goals. Say, where was that when it mattered?
Oh hell yes. Are you kidding me? No, and low key, I'm with you. Like I wasn't.
Yeah, low key, very, spitting venom.
You were. When you walked into the green room this morning,
spitting venom is strong. I was slightly perturbed, to use a Blaine Bishop phrase.
Me and Kenny Smoove, 92Q legend, were spitting venom about Tim Tebow.
Yes.
You were merely just very upset about the idea that Matt Duchene performs when the lights are off. And they're on Pekka. 615-7. Well, I don't know why we're giving out the number. The show's over. Lucas Panzeca updates the polls with new sounds coming up next. Big energy, baby. It's how we get through 3 hours of radio each and every day here on 104.5 The Zone. We've done it yet again. We've seen it all. We've done it all. We've said it all. Although I'm sure there's going to be much more Tebow conversation being had. People continue to just pollute my mentions on Twitter, at Buck Rising with Tebow GIFs. There is no reason to be upset with Tim Tebow flicking his sunglasses down at me and there's an eye wink. I'm sure he's made many, many million. Yeah, listen. You have access to my Twitter. You see what my mentions look like.
I stay out of them most of the time.
Take a stroll through my DMs one time. You have my permission.
I'll do it when Will and I are hosting your slot on Memorial Day. I'll pretend to be Buck for that day.
Yeah, we're going to have
a weird flex by you.
Walk a mile in Buck's shoes.
Brent, we were having this conversation, not to throw Brent Doherty back onto a microphone.
It's over here working.
He's in here trying to do show prep, so I'm robbing him of content before he gets the opportunity to do his own show. But these two idiots are hosting this show on Memorial Day, and I was not aware of that until about 25 minutes
ago. We literally talked about it yesterday.
Yeah, well, I don't pay attention to you when you talk.
Is that what they're going to call that show, These Two Idiots?
Well, yes.
On 104.5 The Zone?
Tweedledee and Tweedledum.
That actually be a great hosting? Name for a show.
That's what I asked. Who's going to be me?
Should we have some sort of contest?
Yes. I decree that there should be some kind of gladiator games.
Yeah.
Between now and Memorial Day. What should they consist of?
I think they should get in a ring and just battle it out.
Just straight up bare knuckle boxing?
Yeah, it has nothing to do with orator abilities. Just.
Well, I got Lucas and anything athletic that's not running.
How about a spelling bee?
Wow. Spelling bee would be gold.
I don't know. I feel like Will's got you there.
I was in the Edmonton Here Elementary School spelling bee in third, fourth, and fifth grades.
I won my eighth grade spelling bee.
Okay.
Higher reading level.
I think we have our answer.
Smart money's on Lucas.
Higher reading level. Wait, what? Hey.
Oh, okay. Well, we do the polls at the end of each and every day, but we have a new voice associated with the polls, which gives me great delight because we can get rid of one and bring in another.
Stop the count. Stop the count. The polls have closed and the votes have been tallied. It's the segment where bias takes over and nuance goes to die. Now, here's your favorite Buck Rising Show daily correspondent, Lucas Polzica.
It's beautiful.
Thank you, Root. Rhett Bryan.
It's everything that I wanted it to be. Look at him. He's in there in the Titans radio studio. He has no idea we're talking about him. Yes, he does. He's got the show on in queue. Rhett Bryan. Root, a.k.a. Root Bryan. Coming through in a big spot. It delights me. Lucas, what are the polls?
Is Urban Meyer the worst? 600 votes. 80% say yes. 20% say no.
Accurate. Accurate. 80%. And the 20% of you are dead wrong and morally bankrupt.
Is it Tim Tebow's fault? 54% say no, 46% say yes.
I mean, how can you be mad at Tim Tebow? I mean, I am mad at Tim Tebow, but I'm mad at the concept. I'm mad at the idea of Tim Tebow. I'm not mad at Tim personally.
Virgil Hackney gave his thoughts, says, you're a radio guy, not a GM. Stay in your lane, idiot.
Oh, Virgil, off the top rope.
Will Pecorine start a playoff game? 53% say no. 47% believe he will.
Old man looked pretty good last night. I don't know if they make it far enough for him to start a playoff game.
Well, that's what I'm saying. Lindsey Rowley said it. If the Preds get past the first round, at what point do you have to stop asking UC Soros to keep starting seven-game series?
That's what I'm saying. I think it's entirely possible that that things are trending in the right direction for the Nashville Predators. And also, she buried you. She buried you.
Who did?
Lindsey Rowley.
Lindsey buried me?
For your doubting.
Oh, on the air.
You doubted your professional local professional hockey team. You've been a fan. You were sobbing. You were weeping last night for Pecorine.
Right. Yeah, I'm the Preds basher on this show. That's how this is.
I don't hate them. I just hate their Twitter account.
Do you blame Henry Toa for transferring to Alabama? Nearly 600 votes. 66% say no. 34% say yes.
Reason. Reason in the polls. Maybe it is not unbiased. I was expecting a landslide of Vols fans to tell me to shut the hell up.
Hey, listen, I agree with Will Bowling in that college football needs more of this, and it is disappearing from college football. But I do not think it should be the expectation for players. I don't think that's reality. I think that's for the fans and for the alumni.
Yes, which is one and the same, you.
Right.
Yeah.
But I don't
think you've admitted it.
I don't expect Henry Toa to care enough about the T for it to affect his decision on what is best for his future.
No, you've played yourself. Continue.
Are the Titans the 20th best team in the NFL? Nearly 800 votes. 87% say no.
I hate that we're in list season. It just bothers the holy hell out of me. The fact that I read power rankings on the air during my radio show, I honestly deserve some kind of public shame. We'll see. I also deserve some kind of shame for the evil that I put on the Nashville Predators 2 months ago. And then, you know, right when I started complaining about them, they turned it all around. So I'm awaiting my gift basket.
In part, you are responsible, maybe.
In part, maybe. So if 501 Broadway wants to send me a gift basket, I'm available. I don't know what Blaine and Mickey are going to do. Mickey Ryan texted me and said, I don't know where the hell this Mount Rushmore conversation. Well, he didn't say that because Mickey doesn't cuss because he's a fundamentally decent human being.
He's such a better person than we are.
That's not hard to do, but they're going to try to do it from 1 to 3. Blaine and Mickey coming up next.